Never flown Larriere? Try Larriere. Oh, that's a touch I've inspired. Alexis, I'd rather not lose that one.
Okay, so I am being told just to read through them all and then we'll figure it out after, okay? And higher energy.
Get your derriere on, Larriere. That's a bit chummy for an airline.
The Roses embrace brewer family traditions for the boys' bachelor party, tackling an escape room challenge and drinks at the Wobbly Elm. While trapped in the room, Johnny is awaiting a callback from a potential franchise investor, and Alexis fumbles to land her mom a worthwhile radio ad job, which has her questioning her abilities as a PR agent. So please secure all cell phone devices and good luck escaping as we uncover Season 6, Episode 11, The Bachelor Party.
Huzzah, my friends. And welcome to the unescapable
episode
of Shitless Podcast. Guys, we are in episode 11. Get your derriere on Larriere.
I love Alexis's
her attempt at Moira's.
It's Larriere.
It's funny. This is a fun episode, Steph. We were just talking about. I didn't think I really cared for it before, but it's really funny and just like happy go lucky, and
it is a lot of good
moments. But before we get to the episode, I have a lot of pop culture news for us this week.
Let's hear it.
Well, one thing we forgot last week when we were talking about Victor Garber and how we only knew him from Titanic,
Cinderella, Titanic.
One of the Schitt's Creek connections we forgot was that he was the dad in Happiest Season, the Christmas movie with Dan Levy.
Oh, you're right.
I totally forgot about that. So
you're right.
Like, wait a minute. Why didn't we think of that?
Yeah. So, did you rewatch that recently?
I didn't. It just came to me for some reason, like literally right after we were done recording that night. So I do want to watch it again. That's a good favorite to watch this time of year. Agreed. He's kind of a smug jerk in that movie too. He comes around in the end, but he's pretty cocky, if you will, a la Clifton Sparks.
Yeah.
Maybe not quite as bad as Clifton Sparks. Another holiday related thing is our favorite Catherine O'Hara commercial is out making the rounds again, where she loses Kevin in the store.
Yes.
And it's a Chase credit card commercial.
Also, I think this happened right after we recorded last week, but I'm sure you saw Catherine O'Hara was at Macaulay Culkin.
Yes, that's on my list.
Hollywood
too.
Walk of Fame ceremony. And that was very cute.
It was really cute. And she said something about congratulations from your other mom or something like
Even though I lost you twice or
even
something.
I lost you twice.
Yeah.
It was very cute. She gave a really nice speech for that. So yes, that was on my news. We talked about Dan Levy making his rounds, promoting his film. And I don't know where he was in these sparkly pants and he's got a new haircut, but damn, like he did it.
I wonder if this is a new haircut for a role or if he's just changing his look.
Know.
But he's had that kind of
wavy
fluffiness on top for as long as I've been paying attention to him.
Yeah.
So it's
very trimmed down and neat, and
it is
maybe a little too profesh in my opinion. I like the
kind of reminds
suave
me of young Dan Levy photos, like when he was on like MTV
and his missing poster.
Yeah,
I forgot he was on MTV too. I forgot all about that. That's right.
So. I also some Schitt's Creek news. Kind of, I ordered finally a pair of DL Eyewear sunnies.
I forgot about that
on Black Friday. They had a like 40% off sale, which was significant. And so I finally cracked and ordered a pair. I thought about getting the Pelican sunnies, but they were sold out in the iconic white and also in the black. So I went with the classic rose glasses, which are like
those
Moira
are the ones
cat
I tried
eyes
to get.
So I ordered them. I like them. They are definitely a little tight. They're snug. Yeah, I wouldn't say tight.
I don't
but
think
a
that we
snug
have fat heads, Stephanie.
I didn't think so.
Like,
but now I'm wondering.
Every other pair of sunglasses, like,
do Canadians have notoriously slim heads?
Tell us, guys.
Tell us.
Sound off in the comments. Or Americans,
what's
fat
the
heads
circumference of your head?
And here's the thing. It's like they tell you, like, you know, you can't order a different size. It's just what size that frame comes in.
Yes.
So there are ones made for wider faces.
Right.
But even that's one of the widest ones and it doesn't fit.
And I don't mind them. Like, I definitely will wear them.
I keep them.
I like them. But I didn't notice, like, oh, these are a little snug.
That shit will give me a migraine if I wear that too long.
So hopefully they'll
shut my circulation off.
I do like them. They're very cute. And they have like a little marking, like a little, like a, what does it say? Like his made with love or something. His little logo on the inside. It's cute.
Catchy saying. Yeah. So, I did like them. They just didn't fit. So that's too bad.
It's a bummer. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad they came. I remember you saying you ordered some. Yeah, so that's good.
I did.
Finally, you sent me a trailer for a new movie that Emily Hampshire is in today.
It's called Self-Reliance, and it's starring, and I think it's directed by Jake Johnson, who plays Nick on New Girl.
It's a dark comedy.
It is. It's this guy who is approached by Andy Samberg and is basically said, if you can stay alive for 30 days and we're going to have like hitmen up to get you, you'll win $1 million. And apparently one of the stipulations is you won't be killed if
anybody's with you,
if anybody's with you, as long as you're not alone. But that means like every moment, like there's a part in the trailer where he like bursts into his friend's bathroom because he's like, you left me alone. And he's like, I'm pooping.
it looks really funny.
And the reason we're talking about this is Emily Hampshire is in the movie. Yeah. She plays, it looks like a minor character, but
maybe one of his sisters or something.
I noticed her
like
in
that.
The trailer. I'm like, oh, that's fun. So
it looks actually really hilarious. And I think it was on Netflix, right?
Hulu. Okay. And it comes out January 12th. So.
Okay, cool. So we have a couple good movies. Good Grief comes out on the 5th. And then this
some good
on
things
Hulu
to watch in the new 12th. Year. Yeah.
So yeah, it looked really funny. And I'm kind of like picky about comedies. So that one looked good, though.
It did look good.
Good stuff. So that was all the news. You asked for any strange soap opera deaths. Did we get any responses?
I don't think we got any responses.
Apparently, we're the only ones that ever watched a soap opera in my life.
Okay.
No.
That's probably why they all got canceled.
I was going to say, I feel like there's hardly any on anymore. So, but that's all we asked, right? That was just the one little thing we asked. All right. Well, I guess we should just dive in here then.
All right.
I'm ready. I'm taking the lead.
Okay.
We open in a little bit different form today in Patrick's apartment, and the boys are opening a gift from Stevie in their t-shirts for their pending bachelor party tonight. And one says, I'm with Stupid with an arrow, Patrick's, and David says, I'm stupid. And David is saying, I didn't want a jokey bachelorette party, Stevie, and also my shirt is missing the width. And Stevie, who's already started in on the champagne, and says, oh, no, that's not a mistake. And this is just a
special order.
Perfect little gang up moment with Patrick because they both shoot each other a look like, ha ha. Mm-hmm. But no, David, it's custom made and that's meant for you. And we know the kind of party David wanted and it's just not feasible. So Steve is about to announce her plans for the evening. That's what she's coming over to do. Apparently, this is all a surprise. But she was put in charge of their dual bachelor party, if you will. I keep wanting to call it a bachelorette party, which I guess could go either way.
Well, I think David's little Tara does say bride-to-be.
It does say bride-to-be, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But plus, like, having just planned one bachelorette party is, like, on my brain. But
yeah.
Anyway, she says it was probably a mistake putting me in charge of this. And simultaneously, David says, of course it was. And Patrick says, I'm sure it'll be great. Patrick, the ever grateful friend.
Optimist, yes.
The complete opposite of David. Mm-hmm. And she said, I know this might be disappointing for you and it may not be the bachelor party of your dreams. And Patrick says, we would never say that. Oh, no, you wouldn't, Patrick. But David apparently sent her a 7-page email entitled The Bachelor Party of My Dreams.
Yes.
Which, what did we talk about before? What did he talk about before when he was talking about his bachelor party? One of the things that comes up later in this scene is Tahitian dolphin excursion or something like that. But he like had a whole big like a party boat or yacht or something that he wanted to rent out.
When he had asked Stevie to be the maid of honor. Yeah.
So we know we're not getting that party. Nobody can afford that. Who can afford that? So Stevie says, I have put together something that meets both of your needs, David. You wanted chic and elegant. So she has arranged an evening of customized appetizers and cocktails at the chicest establishment in town,
the Wobbly Elm.
And David's like, oh, that's bleak. And Patrick shoots him a look like, shut up. Yeah. I mean, thank you for planning that, he says. And Patrick apparently wanted one thing and one thing only.
He's so excited. Like,
he is so excited. So before their elegant night of shots, they will all experience the thrill of Elmdale's finest and only escape room. This sounds like fun to me, actually.
It does. I enjoy this episode.
They have the perfect group size for an escape room. So we'll talk more about escape rooms later because I do want to get into that. But David is less than thrilled about this. He said, wait, panic room? We're watching Panic Room? I've already seen that movie. And Patrick says, no, David, it's an escape room and it's a team game and blah, blah, blah. He's just talking it up.
It's like a family tradition.
Yeah. David thought, wait, my family agreed to this? No, your family didn't. As not a surprise to anybody, did not respond to a single email, which is the worst when you're planning things, I might say.
Yeah.
I had a few of those that I had to follow up with several times.
Your tone has to become increasingly more aggressive answers from people.
What is wrong with people? Like, don't make me be a bitch. This is supposed to be fun for everything. And I luckily I didn't have it too bad, but there were a couple. Like, I'm like, ugh, come on.
Hello.
And David said, okay, is there anything else from my list? And this is where Stevie says, if you can come up with the money for the Tahitian dolphin cruise by tonight, we can add that to the agenda. And clearly we can't. I have no idea how much something like that would cost.
No idea. And I assume you have to go to Tahiti to have a Tahitian cruise.
So you have to get the flight. You have to get the dolphin cruise. You have to make sure everyone's passports are in order.
Yes.
But let's be realistic. Like, in this town with their budget, this is a fun night out to me. Like, I would be down for this.
Yeah, I think I would too.
That's what we have planned. That's the opening scene. That is what it is. We're treated to one long, big, entwined storyline tonight. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to go scene by scene tonight.
Sounds good.
Next, we cut to Moira, who's over at the cafe, dishing her Sunrise Bay saga to her girls, telling them all of her demands. And apparently, she asked for 100,000 more than Cliffy.
Yes.
And also the diamond tennis bracelet, they threw that in there, which we already knew about. And Twyla said, well, what's the significance of that? And Moira's like, it's a power play, basically. It's for dramatic effect, symbolism, whatever.
Yeah.
So I have to note, so when she said that line, it's symbolism, it's for power, it's dramatic. I also noted her outfit and her look in this outfit. Like, it's one of the times we see Moira in color.
Yeah.
She's wearing like a green... like green accented paisley looking. I don't know if it's paisley.
It almost looks like painted.
Yeah.
It's got like these kind of feathery shoulders, but then this, paisley green, like a vibrant green.
Yeah. Pitch. And she's got this really fancier white silver haired wig on. Ooh, and
I like this look.
I can only think that this look is also symbolic of this, you know, new changed person. She doesn't need Sunrise Bay. She doesn't need her old ways. So now here she is, like, with this new look. So that's kind of what I thought when I saw her outfit. And I love her look in this scene a lot.
Me too.
Ronnie is really shocked, just astounded that Moira said no to this. Well, she didn't really say no. She just, like, priced herself out of the game, basically. Right. And she kept saying, well, isn't Nicole Kidman in this? And isn't this a lot of money to turn down? And Moira, kind of like second guessing her decision, is like, you're missing the point, Ronnie. I needed to show my worth, basically. And she stood her ground and she made a stand. And Ronnie said, that's fine, but you've talked for the last 3 years about how badly you wanted to get out of here, and this might have been your out, basically. But Moira says, well, we're still on course for that. Don't worry. She got a new gig already. When Wonder closes, the floodgates open. And she is so, well, I don't know how excited she is, but Twyla is very excited because
Twyla
she's going to be
is the best Twyla's
the ever supportive cheerleader. Yes. The ever supportive cheerleader of all these roses. And she says, oh my God, you're going to be in a commercial, a radio commercial. Yes. Moira is going to be the one and only spokesperson for Larry Ayer.
Larry Ayer.
So we hear of Larry Ayer again, finally. Yes. This will be the second and last time we hear of Larry Ayer. And she says voiceover work, it's every actor's dream, which I have to say, like, it probably is.
Seems like easy money.
It's, I know, I don't know dollar amounts, but I know I remember people saying like voiceover work gets paid a shit ton of money and you can wear pajamas.
I was just saying, you can wear whatever you want.
It's quick. Like show up.
Yeah.
Depending on what it is.
Right. You could do like multiple commercials in one sitting. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. We used to have a lot of, when I worked at the post-production place where we mixed commercials, like the voiceover would be something we added in and we had a lot of takes and a lot of things to choose from. And it was very cool.
Did you ever have celebrities do voiceover work?
We didn't do the recording. So that was done at a completely different facility. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure they did. But by 6 degrees of separation, I probably know a lot of celebrities.
You probably mixed some audio of some famous voices.
Yeah, 100%. Honey Pee. Yeah. But I was thinking too, think of like animated films. I think that would be a lot harder because you actually have to get into character and and record with other actors and dialogue over each other and stuff. So this gig is a little more simple than that, I think. Yeah. But I bet you it still pays okay for what, for the amount of actual work you have to do.
I always think about that when I see like big name actors in commercials or even when you like can recognize their voice. And it's like
Morgan Freeman is a big one. He's everywhere.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm always like, good for you. And also like, I'm sure you're making really good money.
It's like bread and butter money. It just keeps the bank rolling, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, recognizable voices. I like that you said that. Who else would be a recognizable voice? Morgan Freeman comes to mind immediately.
I think of Jennifer Garner. She does a lot of commercials. Like she's done, I don't know if it's like insurance commercials, but then she'll also do like,
he does Capital One commercials.
Yeah.
Capital One card. I think Oprah Winfrey has a pretty recognizable voice. I don't know that she does voiceover work, but I feel like I would recognize her voice.
Oh, I would too.
Who else?
Googling celebrities and commercials, and Google's suggestion was celebrities with herpes.
Kevin Costner does a commercial that I recognize him right away too. I can't remember what it's for, but I recognize his voice right away.
Snoop Dogg has been doing commercials lately.
Snoop Dogg, I would recognize for sure.
Yeah. He's got a Skechers commercial.
Welts. Anybody else?
John Hamm is doing a Hellman's mayonnaise commercial.
Oh, wow.
John Hamm, what's going on?
Even Catherine O'Hara, I recognized her voice in that Hilton commercial a while back, remember? So speaking of her voiceover work, too, we started watching that movie from Disney, the Element one, Elemental.
Oh, yeah.
I turned it off. I didn't care for it. Okay. I never made it to even when Catherine O'Hara made her appearance. So anyway. Maybe it was cute, but we had no children with us at the moment. So yeah, voiceover work seems like a good gig. Like if you're gonna like get out there, why not, Moira? So
easy money.
That's it. She kind of Ronnie kind of takes off and just rolls her eyes at Moira. And I love at the very end of the scene, Twyla says, "I gotta admit, it feels like for the past couple of weeks I've been waiting on a famous person." And I'm thinking, like, Moira probably thought you should be feeling that way for the past 3 years.
I know. I'm like, you kind of insulted her.
You have been waiting on a famous person for the past 3 years. And Moira kind of says,
I love her answer.
Well, you're not waiting for her. She's arrived.
But as Ronnie's like leaving and she's trying
she's
to like
waving her hand,
say it loud enough so Ronnie gets the joke. And
Ronnie's kind of, I like, she doesn't say anything, but I just figure, I kind of picture her signature, meh.
Yeah.
So back at the motel, Johnny's cleaning up the front desk and he's organized a team meeting for some big news. And Stevie and Roland walk in and they say, okay, what was so important? And Roland cracks this dumb joke. I got a hot little BLT at the cafe and I don't want to keep her waiting.
I don't think a BLT is a hot sandwich.
I mean, bacon off the grill, but we had BLTs for dinner the other night. And by the time we ate them, they were, you know, cool.
Yeah.
That's not really a hot. You don't need it hot.
Yeah.
But anyway, he comes in and they come in and it's okay. What's this big news? What are we here for? And Well, Johnny has news. He's been reaching out to some contacts for some possible investments, and he got a very promising response from Mike Morrison, who's his former assistant, but now a big venture capitalist. And they sit down at the couch, and Stevie said, okay, and well, I mean, he needs to hear the idea, and of course, we'll have a meeting. And Stevie says, okay, well, does this mean he wants to invest? Or, well, he doesn't know about the plan yet, because I just sent him a teaser in an email, and he doesn't want to put the cart in the wake of the mayor. He basically called him in here to say that he might get a phone call and might arrange a meeting, but there is little to no information beyond that.
Right.
And Mike Morrison doesn't even know what the plan is or what it is. Mm-hmm. They don't have a meeting. They don't even have a phone call. And Johnny says, let's keep this on the down low. I don't want anybody's hopes getting up. And Stevie says, well, it's going to be real tough to keep this one quiet, but I think I can. And Roland says too, well, if the paper calls asking about a rumor that you might get a phone call, I don't know if I can keep my lips sealed. And he also says, you better make sure the place isn't bugged just in case. And as they're kind of walking out and rolling their eyes down, he said, well, it is big news. And they shut the door and he says, probably. So back down in the kids' room, David comes home from Patrick's that morning and he comes in on Alexis, who is in like major depressed mode. And
yeah, she didn't have her upswing. Like I hope
yeah,
she would after last
she's
week.
Still down and out here. And I guess she started got there was a trigger. There was a trigger, Stephanie. So we can all relate to that. True. So she started getting dressed for work and got distracted. She's still in her sweatpants, but has her dress on like over her sweatpants. So she got halfway there, didn't get the sweatpants off. And David is literally ashamed that she's wearing sweatpants. What is this? Basically. And she said, it's dead. And he said, well, if you're talking about your sense of style, don't worry. We can revive that. Being the ever supportive big brother. I also noticed she's got three empty yogurt containers in front of her.
I saw those as well.
She's got some major probiotics in her system.
I would say when I'm like depression eating, I'm not going for yogurt.
Absolutely not. I hate yogurt, but I make myself eat it. I mean, I don't hate it, but I just don't like it.
I don't either.
But it's such a good source of like protein and shit that I need. So I'm like, and it's easy.
Yeah.
I had one today. I had to have a protein snack before my run, and that's what I got. So
I only like yogurt when it's frozen.
So ice cream. So basically ice cream. Steph likes ice cream. Don't we all?
Yeah.
Anyway, she said, no, not my sense of style, you jerk. The plant in front of her, this is tiny little desert daisy thing, which is a succulent, which I gotta say, succulents are about the easiest plants to raise.
They are, but you can overwater them and kill them because I've had to actually reel in my watering.
They require a lot of sun and little water.
Just leave them alone.
So now this is good. I'm glad you brought this up. Like, I'm not a big botanist, Stephanie, but you are. You propagate your plants.
I became a propagator during COVID and I've done pretty well, but I stick with like only a few types of plants. I don't.
Those like crawly viney ones, right?
Yeah, pothos plants. They're really easy to grow, and I water them once a week. It's all I have to.
My biggest thing is funeral plants, if you will screenshot and please notice in my background.
A peace lily.
Oh. That thing. Mm. It's a snake plant and it is sad and dead.
It's shedding its skin like a snake.
I have that. I have three up top right in front of me on
that
the shelf.
That is the problem, in my opinion, with giving plants as gifts.
Yeah.
I don't know if gift is the right word, but
like bereavement,
a
offerings
gesture,
or whatever.
Because then if the plant dies, you have to grieve all over again.
I mean, I got one from you and your mom during my dad's funeral. And I got to say, it lasted a little while, but I ended up throwing it in the garbage. Sorry.
Well, was it meant to be
It was a plant. Like it was something that I could have kept alive, but I just don't do it. Yeah. It's like they don't get watered. We got to keep them somewhere where the cats can't get to them, so they get forgotten about.
Yeah, because some of them are poisonous for animals and cats. And
this one behind me hasn't been watered. Joe even thought it was a fake plant for a while because it was doing just fine. It obviously doesn't require a lot, but now it's so sad. It's like
sometimes too, if the plant doesn't have proper drainage, you'll think it's fine, and then it gets root rot, and then it just dies really quickly. So.
I got rid of one we had sitting downstairs. There's this really big, nice one I got from work for my dad's funeral. And that's, maybe I'll probably keep that one around. But the rest of these in this office are going to go soon, especially this sad one behind me. But
yeah, we've had a bunch of giant trees get cut down in our backyard this week because they were dead or like
they had bad branches,
and they had a couple fell in our neighbor's yard. And so that's why we had to get them cut down. Yeah, and
that's always sad when big trees have to go.
Well, Sushant's been very depressed because he can't handle when anything dies. And
he's a fan of the living.
He's really thinking about how old these trees were and all the things they must have seen. I'm like,
trees are wild. They have a lot of history.
They do. He's probably out there counting the rings right now.
Yeah.
But
So Alexis, unlike me, has a succulent, which is a little bit easier to care for than what I have. And she has killed it. And
very did.
It is apparently something that Ted gave her. And it was the one remaining thing they have left in their relationship. And now it is gone.
Does that mean she doesn't have Ted the turtle?
Did she ever? Oh, we did find him. He did come back to the room.
I wonder if she set him free in the creek.
She adopted that thing out to someone else. She was never going to keep that stinky old thing anyway.
No.
So David, trying to boost her spirits, is like, well, I can tell you something that's good. We're going to be doing my bachelorette party. Surely that'll lift your spirits. But I thought I emailed Stevie and said I couldn't come. Alexis, come on. You got it. You can't not come unless you're like dying. Right. And David says, okay, I thought I'd never have to say this, but there is only one space in this family for one unstable sibling. And that title has been mine for a very long time. So get your shit together, basically. Is that an accurate? Do you think there's only one room for one unstable sibling in the family?
It's hard when there's more than one, because
there's definitely a black sheep in every family, right?
Well, it can ebb and flow. You have to take turns, but you can't have two at once. I think that's the
gist. You think David's been hogging his turn then? If he's had it for a while, why don't we?
He's been hogging the turn since season one.
Who took the selfish that day? I don't want to be the one to say this, but it's my turn to take
It's been a six season selfish.
Yeah, what the heck?
Yeah.
So, but Alexis is really freaked out about all things in life right now. Yeah. She said, David, I don't have a boyfriend. I'm trying to get my business off the ground. And how many people in this dead little town need a publicist?
Also, I can understand she doesn't want to celebrate love right now because she's all depressed about her.
She's just got a bad breakup and all this shit with Farty Artie and like whatever.
Yeah.
She says this rhetorical question we all ask ourselves about once a week. What am I even doing?
Yeah.
So David says, well, as of 7:30 tonight, you'll be enjoying yourself at my bachelor party. So take a couple of mom's happy pills and we'll talk more tomorrow about this. So she said, I can't even take happy pills because I need to escort a client, her only client, to a meeting. And next we hear Moira come in. Alexis, are you ready? She's still in her sweatpants. And Moira says, well, we don't want to be late to the studio. And meanwhile, she says, can I skip the panic room viewing tonight? Joe Foster gave me a private screening of that one, and I don't want to lose that memory.
Have you seen that movie?
Yeah, it was a major disappointment for me.
I didn't like it. It was interesting. But
I remember it's pretty old now. I remember being kind of bored at it.
Yeah, it was kind of long
and slow.
Yeah.
Interesting concept, though. When you're wealthy and can afford a panic room.
Yeah.
So David stomps his foot down literally and says, no, it's an escape room and everyone will be participating, followed by a really sad reception. Thank you. Thank you so much. He does his staple. Thank you so much. Next outside, we see Stevie packing some balloons and decor into her car. Relate to this big time. Stephanie, did I send you the Snapchat of my car when I was packing for Crystal's wedding?
I think you did.
So we all know, if you've been listening, like her bachelorette party got canceled because of COVID. And so then I wanted to turn in like something in the day before the wedding just for her to do. So I
had all these supplies.
I had all these bachelorette supplies. Then I had to bring all the wedding stuff, my dress, like this mirror we were using, all the like champagne for mimosas and all this stuff. I had not one. There was not room for Joe in the car. Thank God we were taking separate cars because there was nowhere for him to sit. Literally, my car, which is a Ford Explorer with the seats folded down, was literally filled to the brim. So Stevie's got it real easy compared to me. I feel like she's got her little hatchback full of balloons and crudité platter and some fruit slices. And Johnny comes out with this unapproved baby picture of little Dan. So I'm assuming they had to use a real picture, right?
Oh, obviously. They absolutely are. They have a close-up in the Best Wishes book of both
little toddler picture,
Patrick's photos.
Yes, very cute. Mm-hmm. And then Johnny's kind of like, oh, are you sure we have to like have this party? Can't we just have the party here and escape one room to the other? Because it's a bad time to be away from the business. Johnny, if you think David was unhappy with the first plan of this bachelor party, he would not be happy with this. No. So no, we're going to the escape room. And, you know, we really should stay by the phones because he's waiting for Mike to call. And just then Roland walks out and shows up behind him and he says, oh, the bachelor party, huh? And Stevie quickly says, yep, it's just for family.
She shuts him down real quick.
So let's talk about that. The guest list, like who should be coming to these things?
Mm-hmm.
Your wedding party, right? If you're having a wedding party.
Well, I don't think you should invite anybody who's not invited to your wedding. I think that's probably the first one.
So if Twyla's not invited, are we to assume Roland is not invited? I mean, she's invited now.
Well, she's invited
Johnny asked her last week.
Yeah.
But do you think the shits were originally invited? They gotta be, right? They're all such good friends. I was shocked that Twyla wasn't invited.
I mean, if the parents got to their make their
business
own
partners.
Guest list, I would think, and you know how Jocelyn guilt tripped David a few weeks ago to get her the job?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure
she definitely got herself a wedding invite.
They definitely got themselves a wedding invite. Yeah, definitely.
But to the bachelor party?
Yeah, I think that's more reserved for like the wedding party itself, plus maybe a few close friends.
So my thing is, I think it's so awkward when parents come, like moms.
Yeah.
My sister insisted on coming and I was like, oh God, this is going to be so awkward. It's already awkward because I'm a decade older than Crystal and most of her friends. And then Kelly's there.
I felt awkward.
Like sexy shit going on.
I felt awkward going to my sister-in-law's bachelorette party because it's
he's
like,
marrying your brother.
She's marrying your brother. Yes.
Yeah. So then we had this bachelorette brunch the Friday before the wedding for Crystal's and said, and not only then, because this wasn't planned either, Dan's mom was in town and I was like, well, I need to invite her. Well, that made it way more awkward because we don't, not only is it her mom, his mom and her son. And we also don't, at least I know my sister, you know, and everybody knows Kelly. So that was a little more awkward. She did well though. Like she, you know, played it all cool. And I asked Dan ahead of time because I was like, I really would like to invite your mom to this, but there's going to be penises there.
Is she okay?
That's exactly what I said to him. And he just laughed. He's like, I think she'd be okay with that. It's okay. And there wasn't a lot. Like I was given direction. First of all, that's not really us anyway.
It was a phallic quota.
It wasn't me or Crystal, but I knew I had to go a little bit risque. So I kept it pretty tame anyway, just by default, but it was still a little uncomfortable. But it was funny. Made it entertaining, whatever.
Yeah, I bet.
But Roland thinks he's coming to this one and Stevie quickly shuts that down. And he said, I think the Godfather should be coming. Well, you're not the Godfather.
You're not. Also David is Jewish. I don't know if he has a godfather.
Yeah, is that even a thing in the Jewish tradition?
I don't know.
Johnny says you can't come anyhow, Roland. You need to stay and man the phones. And we do this whole who's on first banter about who's supposed to be calling, Ike or Mike. And of course, Mike called already. Roland thought it was supposed to be Ike and didn't realize Mike was who Johnny was waiting for this whole time because he's an idiot. And even Stevie says, this is why Roland doesn't answer the phones. Yes. Shouldn't answer the phones. And Johnny says, well, give me the number. Give me this. And he calls the number right away from his mobile. And it goes straight to voicemail, of course. And Johnny leaves this desperate message. Johnny Rose here calling you back. I'm sorry I missed your call with some technical difficulties. So yeah, anyway, it's Johnny Rose calling you. Johnny Rose. Bye.
So awkward.
He said, how was that when he hangs up? And Stevie says, is there an option to redo it? No. Sounded great then. Roland says, I don't think you mentioned your name. Only 75 times. So that was that. Johnny will have to wait to hear from Mike Morrison.
Yeah.
Next, Alexis and Moira are arriving at her reading. And there's, oh, you know what? We should probably take a break. Okay. We'll come back to this. We're going to take a quick break and then we'll carry on.
Sounds good. Put on your thinking caps and surrender your cell phones, because this week's sponsor is none other than Elmdale Escapes, the region's one and only escape room experience. With exciting and challenging themed rooms for you to explore, you and your closest acquaintances will be sure to face an unforgettable experience each time you visit. Be sure to check out this month's themed escapes, featuring thrilling options including Murder at the Cafe, the MLM Ambush, and just in time for Hanukkah, the Case of the Dreidel. So the next time you're planning a bachelor or bachelorette party, a communion after party, or a team building workshop, ditch the grocery store crudité and hummus spreads and sign up for an escape room experience that you'll never forget. Be sure to mention this podcast to receive 10 minutes of bonus time in your next escape. Thanks again to Elmdale Escapes, where the thrills are just a locked door away.
All right. Thank you, Elmdale Escapes, for your sponsorship this week. You know, there's one escape room I never can get out of, Stephanie, and that's my 9 to 5 every single day.
9 to 5. I know. I look for all the clues all day. That's all I do.
I feel like I'm constantly figuring out the clues and I could just never get out of there.
At least they don't take away my phone. I would probably have to quit.
But I've never tried Elmdale Escapes. We'll have to stop in sometime and visit one of their themed rooms.
Looks fun.
Give them a try. So back at it now, as I almost plowed through the entire commercial break. Alexis and Moira are headed to the reading, the voiceover work, and they get started and Moira sits down in the booth and Alexis is in the other part of the room with the sound engineer, and Moira sits down and was like, wow, quite a prolific list of words. I'm getting paid by the spot, of course. And there's this little awkwardness. It's a flat rate.
Yeah. Or he says, your publicist negotiated a flat rate.
And Alexis mouths, I'm sorry, through the window. But it's like,
the best she could get her mom at
work.
Point,
yeah. Like, it's money is money. It's not hard work. So she did what she could to get her this gig. And Moira starts reading it. And of course, as Moira would, she's got notes. Mm-hmm. we should change this. We should do that. And the guy's like, dude, I'm just trying to do my job. The client isn't even here. We're just
like,
can you read
reacting
through
to the lines as she says them?
Like, read through the whole thing and just get through it. That's all. Read them a few times. Give me a few different accents on different words. Lots of energy, but I don't need your feedback.
Yeah. This guy has no opinion.
I'm not the one for the feedback, basically. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going poorly.
Yes.
Shocker. A couple of the lines, like, get your derriere on Larry Air. And Boyer says, oh, even that's a little too catchy, even for Larry Air, even for a budget airline. Come on. And then she does have a good point. We'll get you from there to here on Larry Air, which makes sense. She said that should be switched around. That does rhyme better if you go from here to there on Larry Air. So I do agree with her on that note. Who wrote that shit? But it's just this guy's job to get the recordings. Like, get over it.
Yes.
So Alexis comes into the booth with her and she too realizes, like, this is kind of below, even for Moira, this is kind of below her, even though this is all she could get. And she said, okay, you shouldn't have to do this. I'm really sorry for booking this shitty gig, you know? And Moira says, did I make a mistake? And this is the lowest point of my life. It's basically what she said. And the sound guy clips in. Thought you should know we could hear our entire
everything you're saying.
Alexa says, you, what about me? I haven't showered in 2 days and I literally took the first gig I could get you. And what does that say about my career and et cetera, et cetera. And they're just kind of commiserating with each other. And Alexa says, I'm sorry, you shouldn't have to do this. This work is beneath you, basically. Get the car started and I'll fill you in. I'll fill in for you. And Moira, typical Moira, you shouldn't have to do that, as she's backing out of the room and she takes off. And I love Alexis sits down, puts the headphones on and does her best.
What's her Moira. Logic? Is this going to pass for Moira Rose?
Sure. And the sound booth guy literally says to the guy next to him, just hit record just in case. And her Moira accent is so terrible. I'm way better at the Moira accent than Alexis is.
You are, but it's funny. Yeah,
sure, derriere. Oh, Larry. And it's like they just wrote these what else can we rhyme with Larry Air from here to there and Larry Air, what else can we rhyme? I had one written down in my brain that I didn't write down, but it was like, it doesn't matter what you wear when you fly on Larry Air. That's definitely a sweatpants airline for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So,
anyway, the girls peace out of there. They're out. They don't care. Mm-hmm. They're not going to get their flat fee. And finally, we are at the bachelor party. The whole family is there except for Patrick, who appears to be running late. Yeah. And David is giving a pep talk and he says, welcome, everyone. And
it's in like a little strip mall.
It is. It is what I would expect in Elmdale.
Next to like a Secretary of State and a tanning salon or something.
Or a Jenny Craig location.
Yes.
When they had locations.
Yes.
1-894 Jenny. They retired that shit this year, just this past year, I think. Mm. Like Jenny Craig is no more.
Yeah. That was like the Mary Kay of
Yeah, you're right. It was. It really was. But David's giving everyone a pep talk and he says, you know, we have to do this. This is what Patrick wanted. And he thinks it's going to be such a great time. And just then Patrick walks in and it is going to be a great time. And everyone cheers up. David's wearing a little tiara with some pink feather action on the top. And it says bride to be. He's also wearing his stupid shirt and good fun.
Good. On him. Yep.
Patrick shows up with his I'm with stupid shirt. Moira and Alexis have completely changed costumes. Moira's look here kind of stunned. It looks
like she should have said,
right?
First look. I really love the
entire
look.
Outfit looks electrocuted to me. There is a lot of like things sticking out everywhere.
I think the wig is like wet poodle.
And dark roots in the wig. Like you don't choose those dark roots. That happens when you just don't have time to color your hair. It just didn't make sense to me. Like she is wild. But I think it kind of showcases her just disheveled feeling about her life right now. So I guess in that sense, it's good.
Yeah.
Alexis is a little more dolled up. I wonder if she showered, had time to shower.
She looks like she did. She's got like a sparkly sequin.
And her hair's, you know, like signature headband bag.
Going
and
out
like
dress. And, yeah.
So she's looking cute and fresh now too. Johnny is just, you know, is anybody getting signal here? I don't know what's wrong with my phone. I'm not getting anything. Patrick is the only one actually excited mm-hmm. about this. And he comes in all booming and Moira gives her, huzzah, like excitement. But this apparently is a Brewer family tradition. They do an annual escape room every year. And since his family couldn't be there, he wanted to share it with his new family, which is a really nice sentiment. And Moira whispers to Alexis, oh, dear, have they passed?
You just is that met
why,
them.
Is Moira. That why they couldn't be here? And Johnny says, well, I hope I speak for everyone when I say I hope we escape very quickly. And Patrick just thinks he's being competitive and ready to go. Yes, that's the spirit, Mr. Rose. And the announcement comes over the speaker. You may enter your room, blah, blah, blah. Please leave all electronic devices in the lockbox. And Johnny reluctantly hands over his phone as they all walk into the room. And the second we walk into the room in this narration and this themed room, we are treated to the extreme coincidence that this whole room is Galapagos themed. Mm-hmm. And Alexis is pissed. Yeah. Why would you do this to me? And David said, I didn't plan this part. And even Stevie, kind of feeling bad, said, it just was called the laboratory. I didn't know. Plus, it was the easiest
one. She picked it because it was the easiest one.
I gotta say. Okay, so let's talk escape rooms before we get into this. Stephanie, have you ever done one?
I have not, but I would love
to. Me neither.
We should do one.
We should definitely do one. So my biggest fear is that we are too stupid to get out of the escape room.
Failure. Yes.
But I think between the four, like if the four of us did it, I think we would have a good shot.
Yeah. And if we have a whole hour, I think
we have talked. So we have talked several years in a row now at work about doing something different for our Christmas party. And the escape room always comes up, and we never really had enough people to do this. But I think maybe next year I'm going to suggest teams of two, and whatever team gets out first gets a prize or something like that.
Like an extra day off of work.
That would be great. But I think there are a lot of options in Grand Rapids, a few places. And I'm sure there are a bunch in Cincinnati, right?
Yeah, I would imagine so. I think we need to make this happen. Maybe if when I come to Michigan around Christmas, we could do an escape room.
We could check that out, maybe. Or I was going to say, maybe since you don't have like a wedding party, official bachelor, bachelorette festivities.
Maybe Joe, we do this for mine.
Joe and I could come down and the four of us go. Or maybe we could get your sister-in-laws together and we could do it too.
That could be fun.
So, but I've never done one. I tend to think like, okay, I'm a smart person. I was valedictorian, right?
Yes.
But this... Not to brag, but I was valedictorian.
It's the same idea as I know what you're going to say, where you like in the moment, you feel so stupid. Like when you watch Wheel of Fortune and you're like, it's so obvious. But if I was to play, I know.
Okay, no, I can't relate to that because I'm a fucking seller at Wheel of Fortune, too.
When you watch, yes. But when if you think if I were on the show,
it's a lot more high
when you're on the show.
Oh, yes.
Audience.
Okay. Yes. Okay. I concur. Not to brag about my Wheel of Fortune skills either, but I'm just saying. But I just think, too, that sometimes these things, like going on in the story, we'll see a couple things where I would be like, I would never think of that in a million years. But maybe if it went along with the theme and we had the clues, like I will say I did this like scavenger hunt thing downtown with my friends one year. And there was a couple like interesting, they're similar clues. But there was a couple interesting clues that I did get. But then I got like two and was really excited thinking I was smart. And then everyone else got the rest and I didn't get any more. So, okay. So escape room is on our to-do list then.
Yes.
We got to do this. It'll be fun. So these guys walk in. The door slams behind them. And you have 1 hour to get out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a little voiceover that says, oh, and if you get stuck, this creepy hooded character in the corner who is Charles Darwin's assistant might be able to help you. And Moira is like, oh yeah, that's our ticket out of here. She walks right up to this actress lady.
That's where she's putting all her energy.
Yeah. Hello, please tell us where the key is. And Patrick is like, that's not how it works. You actually have to try first. But but Moira, thinking this lady's a paid actress. Oh, I'm in the guild too. Come on, you're doing a great job. Just please tell me where the key is. Like as if that's going to be like her connection with this woman. And also, I always wonder too, in these escape rooms, if people on the outside are watching in the cameras.
I feel like they have to because
these people are so dumb. Well, yeah, you have to monitor the situation and make sure it's safe.
Yeah.
But also, are they making fun of all of us on the inside? That's another insecurity.
I probably would. Yeah.
Yeah. So Patrick, you know, decides to kind of take charge and he's going to divide and conquer. And he teams everyone up and it's Johnny and
Stevie.
Alexis and David. And as he's saying that, Alexis is shaking her head. No, I don't want to be with David, but she gets stuck with him. And then Patrick takes Mrs. Rose, who is probably the least help. So if you were in Patrick's situation, who would you have picked to be on your team? Not knowing anything forward from now, like
probably just Stevie.
Okay. Yeah. I would say the same.
Yeah.
She was the only one that was remotely interested in doing this. And I think she's pretty resourceful.
I think Patrick's really leaning into the like family bonding opportunity of this, and that's why he wanted to be with, as he says, Mrs. Rose.
To like mix up the parents a little
bit. Do you think he'll ever call them mom and dad or Johnny and Moira?
No, I don't. Maybe Johnny and Moira at some point.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll call them mom and dad. I don't get that vibe from any of them.
No.
You know? So those are the teams, if you will, even though they're all on the same team.
Yeah.
But divide and conquer, right? Let's get our shit together. Johnny, this entire time, I won't mention this like anymore because it comes up so much, but he doesn't shut up about his damn phone this entire time. It's annoying, right?
Yep.
No, Johnny, we're not using your phone. because Patrick made some comment.
At one point, he's like, "Oh my god, that's a compass."
Yeah, he made some comment about a compass and running east to west about the first clue on the little clue sheet. It's a brain teaser, Johnny, not a literal compass, right? Mm-hmm. So Moira sits down kind of defeated and he says, Mrs. Rose, I can see you're a little distracted, but we do have a time limit to get out of here. And Moira,
taking it very literally.
First of all, I miss this part of my notes. Moira, Johnny, and Alexis, all three of them are undergoing their own existential crises in this escape room. But Moira, no longer optimistic of getting out of here and not the escape room.
Right.
Is very pessimistic. Oh, that's where the joke's on you. We're never getting out of here. But just then, Patrick spots a clue and he spots one of the first numbers to this code they're looking for. And then over on the David and Alexis team, he's saying what I'm thinking. I don't like situations like this. It puts you in a spot to feel dumb when you're not really dumb. Yeah. Right. And but Alexis.
Patrick, also his like straight white male energy comes through a little bit.
Oh, yeah. His competitive edge. Like his baseball watching.
People.
Yeah, really his baseball watching self like comes out, his competitive edge. And then David and Alexis are over there talking. She's like, what if I made a mistake? What am I doing? This is a sign that this is Galapagos themed and I'm trapped in here and blah, blah, blah. And David says, we're in a strip mall on the side of the highway. I wouldn't read too much into it.
No.
Fair point. And his competitive side is coming out now. And he's into this a little bit. He's like, okay, well, while you're moping, help me look, basically. And Alexis.
Because like, now I'm actually invested in this.
Yeah. And Alexis says, well, what if I, should I have gone to the Galapagos? And in this big bro kind of moment, he says, well, if this will help me escape this conversation, no. Are you crazy? Basically, no, you shouldn't have gone to the Galapagos. And he makes a very valid point, which I love here. What are you going to do? Follow another guy around the world? That rings so true to me with old Alexis ways. Like, I know this was Ted and this was something different, but that's what she's been doing her whole life. So that's a very fair point from David. And I like his little reasoning. And also, it helps get her over him a little bit more.
It
like
does.
You wanted to change and you did change. So like, let's be grateful for that. Right.
But there's just a little part of me in my sadness of how the Ted story ended that I'm like, David called him just some guy. Like it's
true. That, it like, was Ted, but
it just reinforces that like Ted is no more on the show.
Yeah. 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 So it's a fair point though. I will say if we're talking growth, it's definitely a big point for Alexis. And just then Alexis spots a clue because David says, where do you want to be? And she says, there. And he said, what? No, there. There's another bird and another number. And David screams. And I love Alexis's face when he screams this. That's not the number. David's new announcer. And
so
Alexis is like, oh, God, I'm sorry I said anything. Johnny's over at the assistant trying to get his phone back, get out of the room. Patrick is in the other corner. They're all into it. All the kids anyway, not the parents so much, but all the kids, David, Stevie, Patrick, Alex, they're all into it now. They're all getting really excited at the prospect of getting out of here. They find the third number and this unlocks Charles Darwin's journal on the table. And David puts in the clue and he's so excited. Oh my God. Like so excited. And he reads this clue out loud that says natural selection. And just then it spooks everybody because a door pops open with those magic words and inside he thinks they're leaving.
He thought it was over, but this is where I feel like that's why the people running the escape rooms are watching, because
they have to trigger
things. I don't know
that
these are all like
automated
levered triggers. Yeah, I think they probably are watching and when you get it right,
making sure you like do the things. Yeah. Prompts. It's looking for prompt. They're looking for prompts and stuff. That's a good point. That probably is true. David thinks that's it. Like he thinks the key, there's no key in this drawer. Well, Patrick says, duh, there's like several clues that we're going to have to get here. Right. So they pull out a flashlight and there's more to it. And this thing goes on and the speaker over the speaker comes over and says, you have 52 minutes. And David repeats it. You have 52 minutes, guys. 52 minutes. And Patrick said, David, everybody heard the speaker. 52 minutes, guys. Let's go. The competitive Patrick comes out.
He's like, that's my job, David.
Now, I guess we cut to David, like, trying to blow on these circle things. They're, like, 8 feet off the ground. And it's the most ridiculous thing. And he's... like just blowing out fake birthday candles that won't blow out, but they're also 10 feet away from him. Yeah. But Stevie finds this, what are these things called? Do you know?
Bellows
that like stoke the fire, like the blow air into the fire, right? Mm-hmm. Stevie, which is probably what they were meant to use all along, not your mouth. She finds this bellow. You called it a bellow, right? Mm-hmm. And she said, here, use this. So they got to switch all these things from red to blue.
The way he's grunting when he's trying to get these little tiles to turn.
I was wrong. The flashlight's in the next drawer that opens, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mixed up the order of this escape room. But after they flip these little tiles around, this other door opens and there's a flashlight with little words on it or something like that. And, Johnny is still like blah, blah, blahing about the phone. And Moira is asking the assistant, please give us the key. And Johnny said, or my phone. And Moira says, what is this obsession with your electronic device? And David said, yeah, what is the deal with the phone? Get over it. And finally,
Stevie has to kind of,
just tell them, get over this, like, whatever. Well, he doesn't want to get anyone's hopes up, as we know from before, which is ridiculous because we don't even know what the hopes are.
There's nothing to have hopes about.
But he comes clean. He says, well, I don't want to get anyone's hopes up. And Moira perks up, of all people whose hopes he doesn't want to get up as hers, and tells everyone, well, we might have a phone call with Mike and it might be an investment opportunity for the Rosebud Motel Group. And everyone's really excited. Okay, we'll get the phone. And Johnny says, well, my phone's out there. And Moira pulls out hers. Well, you can use my phone. He laughed so hard when she did that. And he said, you still have your phone. And David said, we all have our phones.
Yeah.
Nobody left theirs in the box. I have a real problem with this.
I think I saw phones in the box.
When they show that box, there are several phones in the box.
You know, Patrick, I'm sure, probably left his phone.
There maybe was Stevie more than her phone. Maybe Stevie. Okay, but
The roses,
you think Johnny, all have theirs. Okay, that's fair. But I was like, that's not necessarily true.
I remember
because there are several phones in that box. But you're right. Patrick and Stevie probably played along. Mm-hmm. The rest of them did not. Except for a rule follower, Johnny. When Moira pulls her phone out, though, it just cracked me right. Well, you can use mine. It kind of is that drunk Moira vibe. Like, you should drive, meanwhile, while they're all having this phone conversation, Alexis is over here solving the puzzle on her own. And the flashlight little code thing says England. And she shines the flashlight on the map of England. And then it says some clue about I'm tall when I'm young and short when I'm old, and she realizes that's a candle, and they move this big candle and it points to a laser that points to in this Egyptian symbol, which of course she knows because a friend of hers got a tattoo of it in seventh grade when you're 12, right? 11 or 12. Okay, that tracks for Alexis. And finally she said, look for something Egyptian like Rami Malek or a pyramid, which is on the desk. She lifts up the pyramid and finds the key.
Huzzah.
And my favorite part is Moira, try it in the door.
She's so excited.
So excited about it, right? And Alexis solved it all and they got out. And as they're walking out, Mommy and Alexis did it all.
She takes credit.
Moira, because you said try it in the door. That's all you needed
to do. Yep.
So when they get out in the entryway again, the lobby, they get their phones back and they're all on pins and needles. And there are four voicemails on Johnny's phone. The first is Moira.
From inside the room.
No. I thought that at first.
Was it earlier?
I listened back, it was earlier. Because at first I thought, oh my God, she called him from inside. I listened to the message and she says, John, call me. We have to find a way to get out of this escape room thing tonight. She called him before trying to get
literally out of the room.
Yes,
but
that's
get
what
out
I
of
thought too when I first heard it.
Okay.
The next one is David calling to boost everyone's spirits for this escape room. And David's like, well, we can skip that because he says something
Patrick's
about
like,
Patrick.
Oh no, I'd like to hear that.
And the next one is Mike Morrison. And he thinks, this is such a good moment to me, like just the family, immediate family being there and hearing this message. Mm-hmm. And Mike Morrison thinks it's a great idea. And how about a meeting at 4 on Tuesday at the New York office?
In New York.
I get like warm and fuzzies when everybody gets so excited. The look on Alexis's face and Stevie's face, and Stevie and Johnny give each other a big hug because they're business partners and they're in this. And this was Stevie's idea. So this is big for her.
I like that they get to have a little hug.
The boys are so excited. Mm-hmm. It's just such a cute moment at the end of this. So they have a lot to celebrate at their elegant night of shots after this.
Elegant and chic.
Elegant and chic.
Chic shots.
So they're finally done with the escape room. Now on to the sad reception.
Yep.
And Alexis and David are having a moment at the bar, going back to his big bro advice, if you will. Mm-hmm. And he said, what do you think, since you thought everything was a sign today, what do you think the sign is since you were the one that got us out of the escape room? Mm-hmm. And I love what Alexis says. She says, you know, I think just being in this high pressure environment with everyone yelling at me just made me feel like I was in my element, which is great because that is what she's going to, those are skills she's going to need to be a publicist.
Yes.
So she can work under pressure. We've seen it before. She needed this little escape room rendezvous to like get her back in action.
Something to focus on, to put all her energy into.
And she had to like get this, like figure out what made her feel like herself, you know, and this is what makes her feel like herself. So she's back, right?
Yes.
But she's also having a moment here because she is thinking about this damn desert daisy some more. And she said, what do you think it just died because it outgrew its little pot? And David said, no, I very much watched you kill that thing. But what she's getting at as a metaphor, of course.
Yes.
Like she's now a big fish in a little pond. And like she said before, how many people in Schitt's Creek need a publicist?
Yeah.
But she's on the verge of realizing I need a bigger venue in my life. And I'm only going to reach my full potential if I get out of here.
Yes.
So that's kind of a shock for David to hear his sisters now considering moving away.
Yeah.
But just then they're interrupted by the clinking of glasses and a toast for Moira, even though
that he, David said, I even we're though doing they said toasts.
No toast. But she's proud of all of us. And she spews out a speech full of Moira vocabularies. If I could read you a few of the words.
Yes, please.
Before we get ebrious with hooch and hammer, I'm assuming that means drunk.
Hooch.
I didn't, ebrious is the one I'm thinking of here. I didn't look these up, but now I'm going to look ebrious. Having tendency towards alcohol abuse, drunk, tipsy, similar to that of a drunk, right? Okay.
Yep.
Your father with his pecuniary and intrepidation. Pecuniary was another one I was going to look up. And that means relating to or consisting of money. Who would know to use these words other than Moira? Intrepidation. I thought trepidation means like in caution, like when I'm thinking of
but
that.
But then intrepidation must be the opposite.
A nervous? In, well, okay, the closed captions on Hulu split it up, but if you're thinking of intrepid, it means courageous, valiant, fearless, valorous, right?
So,
that makes a little more
fearless
sense.
Fearless financial.
Hulu should not have split that into two words. And then she says something about this Katzenjammer of a day, which Katzenjammer means. So Katzenjammer means a hangover or severe headache resulting from a hangover. What? Didn't she say this Katzenjammer of a day?
That just means she's got a hangover or it's
already
a headache. Maybe
she's going to after
she pre-gamed,
this day.
Yeah,
maybe. So all these Moiraisms spew out in this little speech, and David quickly reins it back in and says, okay, well, this is about us. Let's not talk about the whole family because this is our bachelor party.
Yes.
And by the way, that baby picture was not approved.
But it's cute.
And that's it. That's how the episode ends. And it's super fun. And just like a good ending for the whole family. I think everyone ends on a high note in this episode.
Yeah, I think so.
So with that potential of a maybe phone call.
Maybe.
Which is now a meetings.
It was a
fair.
Voicemail. So right from voicemail to meeting. So
yeah. So
things are happening.
So good episode. They escaped out of the room. I don't know in what time frame, but seems like they did it pretty quick.
I think I almost felt like Patrick looked a little disappointed that she finished.
That she
so
did
quickly.
It and he didn't. Yeah.
Like, well he that said, was over fast.
Yeah. He said, I got to admit, that was really impressive. And she said, I just wanted to get to drinks. And he was a little disappointed in that because it kind of takes
He wanted
the fun
it to be like
it.
A bonding time.
Yeah. But it was still fun. Still good for them. But Stephanie, tonight, instead of trivia, I thought I'd do something different.
Okay.
Because you've been too on the trivia lately, and it's not fun for me when you
Damn
know
it,
the
because
answers.
I made sure there were like a couple of names.
I know.
That I like.
I know. I knew you were going to. But something in the escape room got me thinking. Ooh. the candle thing. What's tall? Tall when I'm young, riddle. Old when I'm short. These are riddles.
Okay.
And I always get caught up on riddles like these. Mm-hmm. So I went to the Google to give you a couple of little riddles tonight.
Okay.
So here's the first one.
All right.
What comes once in a minute, twice in a moment, but never in 1,000 years?
Once in a minute.
Twice in a moment.
An M.
You're right.
Yay.
How did you get that? Okay. That's one.
The letter M. Yes.
This one I like. I have keys, but no locks. I have space, but no room. You can enter, but you can't go outside. What am I?
A keyboard.
Damn it, Stephanie. Okay. Very good. Right. I'm not going to stump you with any of these. Here's another one.
Okay.
I have seas without water, coasts without sand, towns without people, and mountains without land. What am I?
Seas without water.
Coasts without sand.
Sand.
Towns without people, and mountains without land.
Seas, coasts, towns, mountains.
The mountains one.
A map? I don't know.
Damn it. Are you freaking kidding me right now?
It's a map?
It's a map.
It's a map.
I'm so mad at you right now for being wasted.
I feel like clearly, I should sign up for Survivor.
Clearly, you will be getting us out of the escape room. Escape room.
Wow. That one was tougher, though.
What? Here's one last one. What disappears as soon as you say its name?
What disappears as soon as you say its name? What disappears? I don't know.
This one is silence.
See, that one's tricky.
That one's not as clever as the other ones. Okay, well, clearly you're going to be the strongest link in the escape room because I would never get any of that
shit. Well, now I'm excited to go play.
All right. Well, that's all I have for you tonight, Stephanie. Mm-hmm. I do want to ask people if they've been to an escape room and what the theme of it was, because they always have themes, right?
Right. I think that's kind of the gist.
And did you make it out on time? And were you the weakest link?
Were you the...
and then... Any good riddles for us, too? That would be fun.
Riddles.
You guys ask us the riddles, and we'll see if we can guess them. There's got to be good riddles out there.
Mm-hmm. Bachelor, bachelorette party stories, experiences, either if it was your own or just one that you attended.
I think that's good. It's good content that we won't do anyway.
Like we said a few weeks ago, don't wait for the poll. Just send us your answers.
Send us your message. I feel like we've also talked about the bachelor party stuff.
I think we have a little.
Maybe the last time when it got brought up when Stevie was being asked to be maid of honor, because I definitely think that topic has come up.
Yeah.
What's going on next week, Steph? So you're going away this weekend for a quick getaway. Are we recording per usual next week?
Yeah, we'll be back next week. We're just doing a little quick trip to Florida.
Florida.
Nice. There's a train that Sushant wants to ride. That's the gist of what we're
trains, planes, and automobiles, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we will be back next week. I will be leading our episode. This voicemail that turned into a meeting is going to come to fruition next week.
This
is it. We're going to get to one of the few times we leave Schitt's Creek or leave the Elmdale County area. Mm-hmm. Johnny, Roland, and Stevie are going to go make this big pitch. So that's really exciting. And then... back at home, David and Moira and Alexis are kind of contemplating what this might mean.
What happens if it goes through, if they get
the deal? So
this also brings one of my favorite scenes ever. Favorite comedic scenes ever. I won't spoil it, but I'm sure it's one of yours also.
Looking forward to it. Yeah, we've only got 3 episodes left. I know we keep saying every week we've got so many left, but it's really...
I was looking at the calendar today, and I'm not sure what our Christmas plans are as of right now, but if we go right through, we will end on New Year's Eve. Like our last regular episode will be on New Year's Eve. So that's wild.
Craziness. All right, Katie. Well, great episode. Thanks for leading us through.
Yeah. It was fun.
Hope everyone out there has a great week.
Now you guys can escape.
Now you can escape. Congratulations.
You've made you it. Until next week, guys, best wishes.
And warmest regards.
Fat Spatula.